speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
Says, why were some parts removed from the Bible whenever it was translated into the English language? Mostly this deals with the canonization of Scripture. And I want to not so much go into explaining the entire process of canonization of Scripture. We would literally be here until after midnight. It is a very long and drawn-out, detailed process. I believe that we have studied it in depth in some of our classes in the past. But if you have questions as it would pertain to canonization, please come up. I will touch briefly upon some of those things, though. Going to the Scripture, we know that God promised that His Word would be made perfect at the close of the first century. Well, the word perfect there means, if you go to the original language, complete. In the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 8 through verse 11, the Apostle Paul identifies is that they, meaning the apostles, knew in part, they prophesied in part, and yet at the same time, those things would no longer be present. In other words, miraculous manifestations or workings of the Holy Spirit, whenever that which was perfect or complete would come. Well, what's that which is perfect or complete? I believe that it is the inspired, revealed, inerrant message from God. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through verse 16, specific verse 13 also applies to this saying, is that God's perfect or complete unit or system of faith, saving faith, or the system that He put into place for bringing about saving faith, is His Word, the Bible. More specific, the New Testament Scripture. Then in like figure, Jesus assured that God's Word would not only be given, but that God's Word would endure with complete accuracy as well as harmonization. He says, in regard to what is found in Matthew chapter 24, verses 34 through verse 36, that heaven and earth would pass away, but His Word would endure forever. Peter, by way of inspiration, through revelation, divine revelation, also identified is that the grass withers, the flowers fade away. But he says the Word of God endures forever. And if and since God's Word was given in completeness, and if and since God's Word was given with complete accuracy, as well as with complete harmonization, if His Word was not going to pass away, and I'm going to say since His Word would never pass away, and it was given according to those standards, we can trust is that it still would exist in those forms today. The Bible was canonized through God's providential guidance and assurance. When the apostles received the Holy Spirit, John 14:26 identifies that the Holy Spirit would bring all things to their remembrance concerning the life and teaching of Jesus. John 16:13. Also, Jesus identified is that the Spirit of truth would lead or guide these men into all truth concerning the will of God is in that context. Then, as we would consider what the Apostle Paul presents in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 13 and verse 14, we learn there is that God took the Holy Spirit and the abilities of man, placing the will of God through the Holy Spirit, through the operation of the Holy Spirit, into the mind of man, and with the vernacular or language of man, meaning those men who were inspired, He conveyed or delivered His message unto humanity. As a result of that, the Apostle Paul affirmed in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and verse 17, that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped unto every good work. Friends, we have God's message for us, and we have in God's message everything that we need for life and godliness. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. What does this mean? It means that we can trust that our tried and tested translations are genuinely His inspired Word. But also, it means that we can know that we have God's complete and infallible message to mankind. Jude and verse 4 says, verse 3 and verse 4, it was once and for all delivered unto the saints. Why were some things left out? And what they are referring to is that between the Testaments, during what is known as the Maccabean period, this is the period that you and I would know as the 400-year period of silence, there were other books that were written by scholars of the day. Note what I said. They were written by scholars of the day. They were not people who were inspired by God, but rather they were people who were inspired like Shakespeare by their culture. They were people who were inspired by their personal lives to write whatever was upon their mind. They were not given the mind of God to write. And therefore, during the canonization of the Scripture, the team that was assembled for the canonizing or the bringing or the compiling of the Scripture as we now currently have it, they used methods that were put into place to test those things, those writings, to find out whether or not indeed they were inspired by God or if they were words of mankind. When it comes to those other books that were written during the Maccabean period, they did not have the ring of inspiration to them. Also, they did not harmonize with the Old Testament conjoined with then New Testament Scripture. And because there was no harmonization between them, hence they did not make it into the canonization of what we had before us as God's inspired Word, the Bible, in its complete, infallible, accurate manner. In that, sometimes people are challenged whenever they find things that have been left out. And in that, though, we've got to go back and to understand is that, number one, God has promised that His Word would endure forever, and God has also assured us is that we have everything as it pertains to life and unto godliness. And while God does not work in a miraculous manner even unto this day, God still works providentially. And therefore, whenever the Scripture was brought together, canonized, we can know and trust that God was working providentially to give us His message with completeness, with full accuracy, as we now have it.